Amen. What good singing. Church, you sounded so good this morning, as well as the worship team. And I just always want to be sure to acknowledge the worship team because they work hard to prepare every week. And today was so good. Thank y'all so much for all your hard work. Amen. So we're going through a Harvest Time series, and this is week two. And the title of today's message is Seeds for Our Heart. And you can be turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. That's where we'll be today. And as you're turning there, I want to remind you that our Harvest Time series verse is John 4:35. And you recall it from, if you was here last week, the story of the woman at the well, right? And how that the guys had all his disciples had come back, and they didn't understand, one, why was he talking to a woman? Why wouldn't he eat any food? And then the woman left, and he says to them, when they're questioning him, why don't you eat? And he says, you don't understand. I'm full. I'm spiritually full. I'm not hungry. But here's what he says to them. He says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? He's looking at his guys right in the eyes asking them that. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. We don't have 4 months. Do you sense the urgency of Jesus there? See, the problem was that Jesus had an urgency, but his disciples didn't. And Jesus still has the same urgency today, but I wonder how many of his disciples, his followers, his believers have that same urgency. That's the question. And you know, I think about an old movie I saw as a young man, and it's just a great cowboy movie. It's called The Cowboys, and it had John Wayne in it. And John Wayne had lost all of his hands right before a cattle drive. So somebody came up with the bright idea that he should take the schoolboys from the local school and teach them how to drive cattle across the West. Well, seeing that he had nobody stepping up and raising their hand to volunteer, that's what he did. And so on the first day of the cattle drive, it's just breaking daylight, and he says to his field cook, he says, slap some bacon on some biscuits, we're burning daylight. In other words, he's like, come on, boys, let's get going. Well, that's how I feel the urgency that Christ has there. He's just saying to us, hey, folks, we're burning daylight. There's only so much time in the day. And another verse of his urgency that kind of lends itself to that is in John. Let me grab that verse. It's John 9:4. Here's what it says. Jesus says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. We're burning daylight. Now is the time. Today is the day. Now is the harvest. There's an urgency that we should share with Christ. Now this series is literally intended. I want to preach this series because I want our hearts to be conditioned with a sense of urgency. I mean, I want you to feel it like I feel it. I want us to feel it like Christ feels it. Why? Because we need to see the fields and we need to go out and work in the fields. We need our heart conditioned with urgency. That's why we're preaching this message, Harvest Time, this series. And then I told you last week that on Sunday, November 24th, it would be the final week of the series, and I suggested that we have a high attendance day, and I'm going to preach that week a message about the woman at the well. Where we began, we're going to end, but it's going to be a message for people who are lost, and I'm asking you to spend these next several weeks having that urgency to go out into the field and meet people and start conversations with people and invite people to church. Now, it was pointed out to me this last week that maybe that wasn't the best day for a high-attendance Sunday because it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I can appreciate that, and so I'm just going to call it a Harvest Sunday. I don't want to set y'all up for failure. If everybody's traveling, I don't want to say have a high attendance day and nobody show up. So I hear what was being said, but it's still going to be a day of harvest. It's still going to be a day that we should want to fill our church with thirsty souls like we read about last week. And so it's up to each one of us. It's up to us, just like Jesus was saying to his disciples, it's up to you. Look on the field. They're white. They're ready for harvest. Go out and work. Don't let the fruit wither on the vine. So that's the intent of this harvest series. And I don't want you to lose that. I don't want you to miss it. I want your hearts to be conditioned with urgency to go out and meet people and get to know people and find people who are lost. As I said, and I'll continue to repeat, 73% within 3 miles of this church, unchurched, 73%. It's not going to be hard for us to find them if we just go out looking. So anyway, with today's message, Seeds for Our Heart, Matthew chapter 13. And this is the story. This is the parable of the sower. I'm sure a lot of you are aware of this parable. And you know, a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's all it is. And Jesus used a lot of parables. And this parable of the sower is a picture of spiritual seeds and heart conditions. And there's four heart conditions that we'll look at today. And we're going to learn that only one of those four heart conditions are ready for seeds to take root and be fruitful. So we can do the math and we can realize that as we go out into the fields and work in the harvest and scatter seeds, as we sow the many seeds everywhere like we see in this parable today, what we can do the math and realize is only 1/4 of the seeds we share are going to be able to take root and grow. Because some seeds are going to just fall this way and that, and we'll look at that in this parable. But here's the thing. Because of that reality that all the seeds you sow, probably only a fourth of them are going to actually take root and grow and bear fruit. You know what we need to be doing? We need to sow many seeds everywhere. I mean, the more we sow, the bigger that 1/4 becomes. Amen? We need to sow many seeds everywhere. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Let me read that again, and let me read it as if it's written to the church. But this I say, the church who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the church who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We need to be that kind of church, that we are sowing seeds everywhere, and we're headed in that direction. As you heard when we did our presentation for the recommendations from the transition team, there was quite a few recommendations for getting out into the community. I'm very excited about that. We have an opportunity coming up at the end of this month, and it's our Trunk Fest. What do we call it? Treat Street. Thank you so much. Treat Street, and it's going to be on October 31st. And we always see hundreds and hundreds of people show up out there. And so this is a great opportunity for all of us to get our feet wet out there learning how to sow seeds, learning how to work in the fields. And that's why we have this evangelism training coming up, that it's a brief training. And I know it's less than an hour, but it's going to teach you how to engage people in a gospel conversation, how to strike up conversations and turn them to the spiritual, how to share your testimony in 2 minutes. It's going to equip you so that when you're out among the crowd, when that right opportunity comes, you just spread that seed. You just cast that seed. So that's the next opportunity coming up. We've got an opportunity in November. We've got all kind of opportunities that we're working on. So God is moving us in this direction. So many seeds everywhere. Now, this passage outline is in three parts. The first part is verse 1 through 9, where Jesus tells us the parable of the sower, the earthly story. And then the second part, verses 10 through 17, the disciples ask Jesus, "Why do you speak in parables? Why do you tell these stories?" And he explains why. And then the third part is verses 18 through 23, where Jesus interprets the parable of the sower. So we're going to look at all these parts in an interesting way. And I want you to remember now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so in this case, the seed in this parable is the gospel. The sower in this parable are us as believers. We have the seed, which is the gospel, and we're the sowers that are to go out and sow the seed everywhere. And so the first spiritual application is really easy. We're to be sowing the seeds. I mean, that's, if you get nothing else, let's get that today. We're to be sowing seeds. You know, this is the best plan for the growth of God's church in this world. Sowing seeds, making connections, building relationships. We can print flyers and mail them out through all the community and never see a single person show up. Most people come to church because of relationship. Most people come to church because of personal invitation. That's more powerful than anything else we can do. We cannot set aside what God's calling us to do, sowing the seed everywhere, and resign all of that to, hey, why don't the church do more Facebook marketing? Why don't the church send out more mail and more flyers? And why don't we put posters out on the street, banners out? All that is well and good, but I'm telling you, if you want to grow this church, it's up to you and it's up to me. And we have to go out, we have the seed, the gospel, and we're the sowers, and we have to cast that seed everywhere. And we have to meet people, we have to build relationships, we got to get out of our comfort zone. We can't say us four and no more. There's people lost without God all around us, and we need to get out and sow that seed. So as we look at this and we see this parable, we're talking about four heart conditions. And the first one we see is that some seeds fall by the wayside. Now, the earthly story is verse 4. It says, And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. That's the earthly story. Then the heavenly meaning is in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. He comes and just snatches it away. And this is what happens with some people you share your faith with some people that you tell about Jesus, it'll never even have time to take root. Satan comes, snatch it away. He's talking about here the spiritually deaf, blind, and dull. That's who Jesus is talking about. And we see that in verses 14 and 15. Remember when he's explaining why he speaks in parables? He's saying because some people are spiritually deaf, blind, and dull. Listen to verse 14. It says, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Talking about the deaf, blind, and dull. And he's referring to the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. He's quoting it here. He says, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. The spiritually deaf, they hear, but they don't understand. The spiritually blind, they see, but they don't perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. There's the dullness. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. I mean, I have people in my life and I look at them, I think, will you ever understand? Will you ever hear? Will you ever see? And I pray, Christ, will you ever reach them? You know those kind of people. These are the ones that we're talking about, spiritually deaf, spiritually blind, spiritually dull, and it's going to take an act of God to change them. And so for those, you have to be praying for them daily. Never give up praying for God to do a miracle in their life. So we see the second heart condition is that some seeds fall in stony places. Here's the earthly story, verse 5 and 6. It says, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now here's the heavenly meaning that he gives us, verse 20. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. I remember at the last church that I was serving, that one day I'm preaching a message, and I noticed not long after the beginning of the message, two young men come in and sit in the back row. And I continued to preach and gave the invitation. The service was over. Soon as the service was over, both of those men just made a beeline up front to me. It's like they couldn't wait. And they come up to me and they shook my hand. They said, "Man, we haven't been in church in so long. That was such a great message. You inspired us today," and this and that and the other. And I said, "That's great. Let's meet for lunch one day." So I met them for lunch, and then I said, "Let's get engaged in discipleship." And I talked to them, where are they at with their faith? And they were both claiming that they had a faith. Well, it wasn't long before I didn't ever see them again. That's what it's talking about here. Someone can come in here today and just be emotionally moved by the music, emotionally charged by the message, and be all excited and be ready to change their life forever, and then they go back out into the world and they start stepping on all them stones. Stuff starts getting in the way of the gospel taking root in their heart. The spiritually hindered and shallow. That's who Jesus is talking about here. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, Paul was telling Timothy about a rocky road paved with stones that hinder people from being a seedbed for the spiritual germination and the growth of the gospel. He was telling Timothy about all the stones that are in the way. I want you to hear it. In verse 1 it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." I believe we're there, don't you? "For men will be lovers of themselves." You know what that is? That's stones of self-centeredness. Man, that self-centeredness gets in the way of the gospel taking root in a heart. It goes on to say, "Lovers of money." That's the stones of greed. "Boasters, proud," there's the stones of pride. "Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," those are the rocks of disrespect. "Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of God," those are the stones and the rocks of hate. "Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God," there's the stones of ungodliness. "Having a form of godliness," listen to this, "having a form of godliness." Those two brothers, and by the way, they were twin brothers. They come forward that morning and they shook my hand and they had a form of godliness. But it didn't last. No time. Because they had too many stones in their life, too many barriers, too many challenges that would not let the gospel take root in their heart. It says, "having a form of godliness, but denying its power." In other words, going, "Oh man, I believe this," but never letting the power of God change them. I can't tell you how I would call them. I would visit them and I'd say, you got to let God change you. I mean, they just couldn't get a hold of it. They couldn't give up their life. They couldn't give up the things that they loved. They couldn't give up their friends and their parties and all that. And they quickly just died away. That sun come up and it scorched them. They couldn't hang with it. "From such people, turn away." In other words, I just kept calling, I kept going, I kept visiting. Every once in a while, they'd show up for church, but eventually they wouldn't answer their phone anymore. They wouldn't. Finally, you have to just turn away. "Lord, they're in your hands. Lord, for a season you allowed me to minister to them. You allowed me to cast those seeds to them, but Lord, they're in your hands because they've moved on from me. And we have to accept that. There's nothing we can do about that person. So some seeds fell in stony places. Then the third heart condition, some seeds fell among thorns. The earthly story is verse 7. It says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. The heavenly meaning in verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. See, that's talking about the spiritually careless and fruitless. You know, if we get so caught up in all the cares of life, if we let so many things important to us rise above the importance of God, whether it be our money, whether it be our stability, whether it be our job, whatever it may be, we all know those things that we struggle with. Whatever it may be, those cares of the world, those things that we wring our hands over. If we get caught up in all those cares, it'll cause us to not have time to care about the things of God. We'll be too busy caring about everything else. You know what? If we don't care about the things of God, then all the cares of the world is just, they're choking us out. We're just not fighting that battle. We're just letting them take over. And when that happens, we are careless to the things of God, and therefore we're fruitless. We can't bear fruit if we're not focusing and caring for the things of God. Listen to Matthew 6:25. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. It's not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Is it not more than that? Paul says, I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. And in both situations, he was always thanking and praising the Lord. Can you do that today? I went through some challenges last week, and one day as I was driving, I think it was Wednesday, I was driving into the office, and I got to admit, I was down. There were things going on, and I was discouraged. And as I got in the car, I wanted to just cry to the Lord and say, Lord, woe is me. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Not when I look at people in North Carolina. Not when I look at people in South Georgia and Florida. What have I got to cry about? And so I said, Lord, I'm just going to start thinking of all the things I can thank you for this morning. And man, I just started thanking him. I just started thanking him for all the wonderful blessings of life. And I'm going to tell you, you can't do that very long and stay down in the dumps. You can't. You can't. Life is more than the cares of the world. But here's the fourth in the good heart condition. Let me tell you something. Those first three heart conditions, those are all people who are still lost. They're still lost. Because the seed cannot take root. In the first case, it's swept away. In the second case, it can't take root and it scorches away. In the third place, it gets choked away. All three of those heart conditions are the condition of someone who is lost. Why do I want to make that clear to you? Because some of you might have a false notion of your salvation today, but yet you saw yourself in one of those first three heart conditions, and you need to ask yourself, do I really believe? Am I really saved? Well, here's what the one good heart condition looks like. Some seed fell into good ground. The earthly story is verse 8. Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Then the heavenly meaning, verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen, this is the one that hears God's word, receives it, gives it a good place in the heart to grow, and they begin to produce fruit. You go, well, what is the fruit? Well, some people will say, well, yeah, I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the Holy Spirit giving you a gift. He's giving you fruit. But the fruit that it's talking about here is the fruit of reproduction, the fruit of other believers, the fruit of bringing people to Christ. That's the harvest. When Jesus was sitting on that well with his disciples and all the people was coming out of the town, he says, lift up your eyes and look. Because white is the harvest. The harvest is coming to us right now. It was people. So don't make a mistake of just thinking that you're a good person. That's fruit. No, fruit is something that's produced out of you because you love Jesus so much, because you let the gospel have the good ground of your heart, and it compels you to go and tell other people about him. It compels you just can't not speak about him. You find ways to share about him, and out of that people are saved. You're producing fruit. The spiritually fruitful and blessed, that's what he's talking about here. Remember how the prophecy earlier we read of Isaiah spoke about the spiritually blind, deaf, and dull of understanding? Well, after he says that, he goes on to speak about the fruitful and the blessed. And what he says is that their eyes see and their ears hear. Look at verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You know what it's saying there? It's saying back in the Old Testament, the prophets and the people of God, they had to have a faith in what was yet to come. Christ had not come yet. There was no one to see yet. You know, there's a saying, Christ in the Old Testament is concealed. Christ in the New Testament is revealed. They had to have total faith on something that wasn't even there to see yet. And it says they desired to look upon him. They desired to have the things that we have. We're the spiritually fruitful and we're the blessed. And here's the thing is that then Jesus comes. And now we're in the New Testament. And he lives his life and he proves who he is and he goes to the cross and he dies in your place, in my place, for your sins and for mine. And on that cross, he utters these words, it is finished. It's finished. And here's what I'm saying to you. What he's saying there is now we have sight. Now we have hearing. Now we hold God's prophecies in our hands. This is what the people of the Old Testament wished that they had. And we are so privileged that we can see the Christ, that we know the story, that we have the gospel. This is the seed of his word that we're to be sharing with everybody everywhere. And there's so many people that are still waiting to hear, that are still waiting to see, and nobody's going to them with it. That's our call to go out and seek the lost at any cost. Amen? We have this precious word. 1 John 5:13 says this about this word. John said, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Listen, I don't know where your heart is today, and I don't know. You might be discouraged today about your faith. You might be questioning why the world's in the condition it's in, but I want to tell you that you just got to keep hanging on. You can't give up. You got to keep believing in Jesus. We have hearing. We have sight. We know what he's done for us, and one day he will return. Like those Old Testament prophets and those Old Testament believers, they had the faith to wait for something that hadn't come yet. Now we sit and we wait for his second coming. We hope for him to come again one day. And we can't grow weary in well-doing, but we must keep working. We must keep fighting the good fight of faith. We must keep laying hold of eternal life. We must keep finding ways to share the story of Jesus with people that haven't heard it. And by the way, do you understand, do you realize that lostness, if you, for lack of a better word, all the people in the world, they're lost. Lostness is growing at an unbelievable rate. You say, well, how is that possible? Because population is growing at an unbelievable rate, and the population grows, and the lost condition of the world grows. There's more people lost on this earth today than there's ever been in all of history. I mean, we are in this moment, as Jesus told his disciples, lift up your eyes and look, because the harvest is white and it's ready. And he's wanting you and I to go out and be laborers in his harvest. That's what he's calling us to do. So it's time to respond. And I first want to talk to the believers. And I want to invite you to come to the altar today and ask for two things in prayer. I want you to come and ask the Lord to help you see the opportunities to sow the gospel seed in this world. If you're sincere, if you want that, you come to this altar and you ask God, God, show me the opportunities for me to sow the seed and I'll sow it. I'll promise you this, if you pray that prayer, he'll do it. So be ready. And then I'd ask you to come to the altar and pray this. Ask the Lord to open eyes and ears and understanding on those in which the seeds that you scatter fall. Ask him for that, believers. Ask him to make you a worker in the harvest. But more importantly, as we think about the harvest, you may be here today uncertain about your own salvation. And I would ask you, have you heard the parable of the sower today? Have you seen the truth of it? Has the Holy Spirit begun to tug your heart to say, you need Jesus. You need a Savior. You need to pray to receive Christ. Has he spoken to you today? I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, I've heard so many times, I can't count them, the testimony of people who's gotten saved. And they said that they were sitting under the preaching of the gospel, and their heart was pounding. I mean, they couldn't deny it. They knew that a holy God was speaking to them, and they needed to respond. And if that's you today, then I want to explain to you how easy that is. All you need to do is pray a simple prayer. It's called the sinner's prayer. And it's a simple prayer. There's no magical words. There's no perfect way to do it. You just pray from your own heart and you just simply say, Lord, I know you're speaking to me. And I know I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And I believe Jesus is my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart and save me right now. I want to give my heart and life to you. However you formulate those thoughts, it's just admitting that we're sinners and that we need a Savior and inviting him in. In Romans 3 and verse 20, I believe it is, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open the door, see, that's up to you. He will not barge in. He will not force you to live any way you don't want to live. But he's knocking. He's saying, I got a better life for you if you'd let me in. He says, if anyone will let me in, I will come in and I will have an intimate relationship with them. He puts it like this, I'll come in and I will dine with them. I will sup with them. We will have the closeness. Like when I take my wife out to a candlelight dinner. Closeness. That's what he wants with you today. If you want Jesus today, I'll invite you to do this. Just come forward and say to me, I'm here to receive Christ. And we will pray that prayer together. It's that simple. It's a free gift. Stand and let's sing. Respond as God is speaking to your heart.
Person on Sunday mornings at 9:15 a.m. for our Sunday school class and at 10:30 a.m. for our worship service. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Ciao!